Yesterday morning was very different from this morning. This morning we have clouds and snow, and I even heard somebody asking that we shorten the service so that we can make sure that people get home safely. Yesterday was completely different. Yesterday the sun was shining. It was a little bit cool. I had to wear a jacket, but the sun was shining. It was going to be a beautiful day, and it was a beautiful day. But yesterday morning might not have appeared the same way to everyone. For our confirmand, Garrett, he might have been dreading a particular hour. 9 a.m. yesterday morning, his hour had come, his hour for questioning. And if he was anything like his pastor, he might have been wondering some questions. Will I forget the answer? Will my mind go blank? Which questions will pastor ask me? All those kind of things. And perhaps you remember your own confirmation questioning, and maybe those were some of your own questions. But then the hour rolled around, 9 a.m. His hour had come. This week, as I mentioned to the children, we focused on another person's hour who had come. Jesus had finally come to the hour of his entire life, the very hour for which he had been born. Every event that we've been hearing about over the last couple of months, from Christmas and his birth until today, has been leading up to this hour. Our reading this morning came from the lectionary for the Sunday of the Passion instead of Palm Sunday. However, the start of Holy Week, the start of that final hour, begins with Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem. It begins with the people gathered around with palm branches. And so we had that demonstrated this morning. We got palm branches for our children to be able to wave and remind us of that grand entrance into Jerusalem. The people were crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." It was probably another beautiful day. And even the Pharisees complained that the world had gone after him. But as we know, and as Jesus was well aware, his hour had come. The triumphal entry was just the beginning of his final hour here on earth. In John's Gospel, we do not hear a single word from Jesus during that triumphal entry. But in our text for this morning, the text that we heard from John that follows that triumphal entry, we hear what Jesus has to say regarding his final hour. Jesus said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Though many today might think that Jesus' ministry or his life was cut too short, or his ministry was cut off too soon, from the words of Jesus this morning, we know that that was not the case. He was expecting it. He says himself, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." But what does it mean for the Son of Man to be glorified? Many at the time meant that the Messiah would take up an earthly kingdom, that he would overthrow Rome and he would establish a kingdom here on earth. Many of the people lining the streets in Jerusalem, waving those palm branches, expected that very thing. But it was not to be. Instead of speaking of these kind of things, Jesus speaks of grains of wheat. To many, this may seem confusing. For even many people alive today, that might be confusing or bewildering. But not for us. To us, we know that it means that Jesus himself was going to the cross. The hour had come for him to die, and for him to bear much fruit through that death. You and I are that fruit, if indeed we believe in Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection for me. How do we believe? We believe by trusting that his hour was for me. We believe by, as Jesus said, hating our life in this world and following and serving him. To hate our lives means to hate our sin. It is not to think I'm born in sin and so therefore I can't help it, as though in that way we may make grace abound. By no means, if you remember Paul's language. It is to hate sin through faith and to try not to sin. It is to repent when you do fall into sin, that is, to turn away from doing that which is wrong as far as the Spirit allows you to do it. We are saints and sinners in this life, but continuing in sin when you know it is the wrong thing to do can lead you to fall away from your faith. So instead, we follow Jesus. We follow him, and in doing so, we might suffer. We might suffer because our sinful flesh desires to do this thing when we know that we are not supposed to do it. And so we might have some humiliation. We might have some suffering. But we also know the one who also had humiliation and suffering. Jesus humbled himself. He had his humiliation by taking on human flesh and coming to this world, this sinful world. He went to an excruciatingly severe death on the cross, the death of a criminal for you and for me. But he did this so that he might be exalted at the proper time. It hasn't come yet. As I was telling the children a few moments ago, we think about Easter and things like that. We know it's coming, but we're not there yet. Jesus' exaltation has not come yet, but he will be exalted. He will be exalted by the Father for going to the cross of Calvary. But now it's the hour for Jesus to die, and he is well aware of that fact. As any of us might be when we have an hour of testing, Jesus said, "My soul is troubled." Yet despite being troubled, what does Jesus say next? But what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Is that in his humiliation as a human being living in the sinful world, he still put God's will ahead of his own. For that reason, these gathered around Jesus got to hear a voice endorsing his work. Just as at his baptism, a voice came from heaven. This time it said in reply to Jesus' words, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The voice from heaven, the voice from God himself, the voice from his baptism, when he had been first glorified, would be glorifying him again when he was lifted up on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. When the voice from heaven had finished speaking, Jesus said, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Jesus knew his hour had come, and he was ready for it. He had entered Jerusalem fully intent on dying for the sins of the people lining the streets, and for you. No, the voice was gathered for the people gathered then, and for us today. It was to show that when Jesus was lifted up on the cross, it was by the will of God the Father. Here in the world today, so many people overlook that statement. They don't want to think that God would kill his own son. They want Jesus as a great prophet or a great leader who will establish a kingdom here on earth. They don't want a savior that would suffer and die for them. We, on the other hand, believe God's word concerning his son's death. We trust that death to be everything that Jesus said it would be, the judgment of this world and the ruler of this world. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been hearing how we no longer have enemies of the flesh. We have only the enemies of the rulers and the authorities. And here, their hour of judgment has come. When Jesus goes to the cross of Calvary, their hour, their time, is up. Jesus himself told us this beforehand to show what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you." Which means, as our catechism students and as our confirmand knows, so that it doesn't happen. Less means so that it doesn't happen, so the darkness does not overtake you. And he continues, "The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." Jesus' hour had come. And yet, as an hour takes time to elapse, Jesus was not being lifted up quite yet. That would come at the end of the week. Jesus tells the people around him, the Greeks and the disciples, to walk in the light while he is still with them. Judgment is coming, was coming for them, just as it is coming for us today. And then is now, those who believe and trust in the Messiah, who will establish a kingdom on earth, and not a Savior to die for them, will not be saved. But you, dear friends in Christ, who not only believe in the name of God, but also have been baptized into it, into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, will be saved. We walk in our trust of our Lord Jesus Christ and follow him as we wander in the darkness of the world. Yet we walk in the light of his word. We hear the light of his word every Sunday from this pulpit and from that lectern and in Sunday school as well. We walk in the light of his word. You know how this ends, but the hour has not yet come to speak of Jesus bearing fruit. No, it is time for him to die like the grain of wheat. When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. He hid himself so that he would be crucified at the right time, the end of the week. So too shall we end our study here, looking forward to the end of the week, but knowing what happens 3 days later. In Jesus' name, amen.